Hello, and welcome to the latest installment of CIC's In Conversation With. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting and chatting with the CEO of Geospark, Mr. Richard Baker. Geospark has been part of the CIC portfolio since 2015. The company is one of our first investments, and we're keen to support the business and have been since then. Today, we're going to sit and speak about the latest investment on Geospark and hear what they've been up to and look at the future ahead. Before we kick off, I'd like to describe Richard's background. Richard has had an illustrious career that spans many decades, multiple industries across various roles. Richard is a qualified electronics engineer, and he started his career on the corporate side of telecommunications and digital media, specifically in the Canadian company Nortel Networks and in Real Networks. He then moved onto the entrepreneurial side and created a fintech platform called Clear Trade Exchange, which is a commodities derivative exchange, which he sold in 2016 to the Deutsche Börse Group. Richard has served on multiple public and private boards and has been with Geospark since 2017. So, Richard, telcos, digital media, financial services, and software technology in big data. It's obvious that you like challenges, you gravitate towards them, and you clearly don't sleep. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what motivates you towards these types of challenges.
Definitely, Carol. Thank you very much for that kind introduction. I don't think I recognize that person when it's all said out loud by somebody else. I think I've always been an engineer at heart, I suppose, firstly. So I love leading edge technology, and I love problem solving. So probably at the heart of that is I've tended to work on bleeding edge technologies throughout my life. Mm. And a big part of that, I think, is about the challenge of figuring out how to take a new technology and translate it into something meaningful for the market that you're trying to build or the customers that you're trying to work with. So I get really excited about that particular translation role. I'm going to write a book one day, I think, having jumped so many different industries. Part of it also probably comes back to my upbringing. I grew up in Southern Ireland. We were a rural family, lived by the sea. And my dad had a big belief, really, of that there are no barriers in life. You can, you know, just have an attitude of tackling anything and everything. So I think I've probably grown up with that attitude of just, it doesn't matter really what the industry is.
Yeah.
I think I've probably found over the years that every industry has its own value chain and its own language. But once you can understand the value chain, you really can jump industries and problem solve. And I get excited by that.
It's a great can-do attitude. And so then, Richard, what motivated you to join Geospark specifically? Because, I mean, given your background, you must have had a plethora of choices. But why Geospark? And what's the vision for Geospark, really?
Yeah, a link back to history, probably, and the fact that I was really lucky working for Nortel Networks, which was the great kind of Canadian telecommunications equipment manufacturer back in the, well, they were over 100 years old, but I worked for them in the 90s and the 2000s. So we had the joy of building optical backbones around the world in the 90s and 2000s, and it was a crazy heyday, you know. And so part of that was building infrastructure, and obviously the mission at the time was largely driven by communication services. It wasn't even the internet at that time. It was about voice services and building out capacity. But I think back then, obviously, we really started to think about why put infrastructure into society, and that infrastructure ultimately becomes an enabling layer for lots of new services. And I think when I came across Geospark, Geospark was founded by Dr. Steve Marsh. And Steve is honestly one of the most talented engineers and scientists I've met in my career. And he is inspiring as a person, and he's delightful to get into a deep conversation with. And obviously in Cambridge, many of those conversations tend to happen in the pub. But I think Steve sparked for me a bit of a jump back to the 90s, in that he was thinking about the next wave of industry, you know, Industry 4.0, the rise of connected things. And actually that the parameter of all things in the future are going to have a component of location and time and device ID. And he was really looking at data structures. And so he inspired me, really. I think his depth of thinking about a world of smart cities and connected and autonomous cars running around these smart cities and the plethora of data sets that would go with that. And how do you manage it? How do you translate new services and build new applications? And so I joined Steve really to help him productize and commercialize his ideas. And it's been a fascinating journey so far.
Absolutely. It's really helpful for me to try to talk about and understand these geospatial and temporal data sets. Why are they so important and relevant now? And what does it mean to a corporation? And why do they care?
Yeah. Yes, and this is an intriguing area, Carol. I think I've been guilty at certain events talking about this. This at one level takes us back to our geography high school lessons in the fact that you know, most people today would understand the role of geospatial through the lens of a map. And certainly we've seen technology over the last 30 years, technology being, you know, databases and ultimately mapping technologies, really help digitize paper maps. And so whether we think about it as Google Maps or our sat-nav systems, you know, we've seen a big generation of technology that's been about digitization of maps. For GeoSpoc, we're not in that part of the industry. So that tends to be known as geographical information services, and we're not a GIS company. We're an analytics business, we're a database business. And the modern interpretation of data is coming from sensors. And I was trying to take my children through this story, but if you can imagine a city of the future and just the high streets through the city, and if we've now got smart street lights down that road, you know, and these smart street lights are every few hundred meters and have got, you know, very, very capable sensors on the streetlights. So they're 5G, possibly. They're certainly able to detect Bluetooth and Wi-Fi signals around them. And interspersed on this street will be sensors in the tarmac, sensors in smart buildings. And so we've become very, very connected. And now when buses and cars are going up and down these streets, we've now got background communication and chatter happening all the time. The vehicles are talking to each other through sensors, and the vehicles are communicating with the infrastructure. And so all of a sudden, we get this digital picture, this new layer in maps that comes from physical infrastructure digitization. And GeoSpoc's role really is about taking the time data, the location data, and the device data, and fusing those things together with a plethora of data sets.
Which is a very big challenge.
It is a very big challenge.
Given the volume of data that's being spat out, right?
It's exactly. And so I think, you know, we talk about forecasts often, but we're on a journey towards something in the order of 89, 90 billion IoT sensors going into society by the mid 2020s. And that's producing, you know, exabytes, something towards 50 to 60 exabytes of data just coming from that IoT. And of course, the challenge with that is as different cities or different automotive companies deploy their infrastructure, we've got to try and help society not become siloed. We've had a lot of technology built in silos. And so part of the challenge for the future is how do you democratize access to those sensors? How do you allow anybody that's trying to build a service or an application to ultimately really just connect to an API and have the access to that underlying infrastructure? And again, that's something that we think deeply about and probably at the heart of things, our building of our database is about how we ultimately liberate access to that infrastructure in the future and allow innovators to build new services and applications for society.
Indeed. And so Richard, now, given what you've just described in terms of applications in smart cities and forward thinking, we close the round of GeoSpoc. What is the future going to hold now with this investment, and what are the plans?
Yeah, so I think as we come to the tail end of 2020, this round was firstly co-led by CIC and a firm called Enchain, Enchain Holdings. Obviously, our audience knows who CIC is, but we are delighted that CIC have been supporting the business since 2015. And quite frankly, CIC continuing to support the business gave Enchain a lot of confidence to come in and co-lead this round. So Enchain is a global blockchain research and development technology company. And blockchain, obviously being an infrastructure protocol at its heart. I know a lot of us in society think about blockchain being synonymous with cryptocurrency. But Enchain have actually been a deep tech IP company building out blockchain for the use of smart contracts and ultimately for the digitization of commercial flow and transaction flow. So firstly, with them joining, there is a reason, and that is because we have a common vision. We're seeing as cities become smart, as supply chains digitize, as the travel and retail industries change, ultimately we've seen humans not really be producing the same amount of transaction and events data as we once did. It is now machines that are producing transactions and events. And where GeoSpock probably focuses today on event information coming from sensors and what's going on around a sensor and in a particular environment, those sensors are now becoming very important in commercial transactions. And very simple example is if you and I take our electric charging car up to an EV charging point in the next few years, instead of having to tap pay, really there will be a function that allows that car to have a digital wallet and it'll be associated to our own identity. And the car will be able to settle with the EV charging system all by itself. And that's a background transaction. And blockchain is actually really well built for that type of transaction. So part of our roadmap planning and our future is to continue what we do really well, which is to help cities and automotive companies and supply chains and telecommunication companies get on top of big IoT sensor data and translate those events into new services and applications. But in parallel, we'll probably see a joint discovery phase with Enchain where we look at the transaction flow and how can our technology help index blockchain events and ultimately how can we run analytics on blockchain events as well.
Well, it's a very exciting future that you've painted and I'm very glad that we're on this journey together, Richard.
Likewise.
I think that we're unfortunately out of time for today, but as always, a pleasure sitting with you and chatting with you because it's possibly the first time we've sat together since lockdown. So
definitely,
it's nice just to be out and around.
It is. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you for the time. That's a wrap from us at CIC. For more information, please log on to cic.vc.